So is policing broken in Canada? And if so, what do we do about it? Hi, this is Phil Gursky, President and CEO of Borealis Threat and Risk Consulting in Russell, Ontario, Canada, just in the Canadian Intelligence Aid. If there's one thing that's been making the headlines a lot over the past couple of years, it's policing as an institution in the United States and Canada. Of course, we have the George Floyd incident a couple of years ago. We had the whole defund the police movement. A lot of criticism about policing in Canada, going back to the Freedom Convoy a couple of years ago in Ottawa, where multiple levels of policing were criticized for not getting rid of the truckers on Parliament Hill, leading to the imposition by the Trudeau government of the Emergencies Act, which, by the way, was just deemed illegal by a federal court, which I fully supported the court's decision. But the more important question is, what is policing like right now? Is it working well? If not, what do we do about it? And so to weigh in on this, I'm walking back to the podcast. A good friend of mine, Chris Lewis, he is the former commissioner of the Ontario Provincial Police, was in policing for a very long time. He's currently the owner of Lighthouse Leadership Services Incorporated, does a lot of leadership training. And he luckily is joining me from sunny and warm St. Petersburg, Florida. So Chris, welcome back to the podcast.
Thanks, Phil. Good to talk to you again.
For my listeners that don't understand the Canadian policing model, Chris, can you walk us through? We have basically three levels of jurisdiction here in Canada. We have a municipal level, I guess four if you include First Nations, but you have a municipal level, a provincial, and a federal. How does this whole thing hang together?
Well, yeah, it's interesting. A lot of people don't understand it, and I'm sure some police officers don't really understand it, but legislatively, policing is a provincial responsibility. And the provincial acts in each province control policing, and they allow for municipal police departments, First Nations police departments, and the provincial. But in the case of 8 of the 10 provinces, the RCMP are the provincial police.
Only Ontario and Quebec have provincial police forces per se.
Exactly. Yeah, the SQ and the OPP are it. And so the RCMP do it under contract. They also police some municipalities under contract, as do the OPP and the SQ. So, you know, you have to have these different levels, but doesn't necessarily mean you have a municipal or provincial police. Someone just has to perform the level under contract. And okay. And everybody works together well, Phil. You know, there's at times they say that's not the case, but generally it is, other than the odd little situation. And they want to keep everybody safe across the province. But then there's the feds, the Mounties, who also have the federal responsibility for things like organized crime, national security, various pieces of federal legislation, you know, under transportation things and whatnot that the OPP and others don't want to have anything to do with. That's their various roles. Even migratory birds and unlawfully taking bullfrog out of season, the Mounties end up with a lot of crap under those different federal legislation pieces that they can have.
Now, so Chris, I mean, this model sounds to me like it's a little complicated. I'm thinking of my friends in New Zealand. Now, New Zealand is a lot smaller than Canada, both geographically and population-wise. And there's one police force for the entire country of New Zealand. Now, the fact that Canada is so goddamn big, I mean, we stretch 6,000 kilometers from east to west, and God knows how many from north to south, and we have provinces, and we have a federal government, we have First Nations and municipalities. Do these circumstances kind of dictate the necessity to have such a complex model here in Canada?
You know, what they have in New Zealand and even what they have in Australia, which is 5 different states instead of provinces, and each one has one police service that does everything.
They're the AFP, yes.
Yeah, but they certainly do all the provincial and rural and indigenous and municipal policing, one department. That's a better model because it's certainly just, there's more economy of scale. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have numerous boards, numerous chiefs, everybody with a radio system, et cetera, et cetera. But I think it's too late to ever go to that in Canada because it just stretched so far, many agencies. Try and disentangle that would be an absolute nightmare. Although, mm-hmm. You know, there's times I think it's the way to go. Many would argue that it's not.
Well, and again, I refer to history. I mean, you were commissioner of the OPP, and the OPP was created, I believe, in 1909, if memory serves me correct.
Right.
And had to do with mining disputes up in Northern Ontario and a way to kind of sort of bring some law and order to these communities where all kinds of shit was breaking out. So there is a lot of history behind the fact that we have this multi-level model in Canada.
Well, at one time, and not all that long ago, maybe 50 years ago, there was 200 plus police services in Ontario, just to use that example. Every little town and township had a police officer, a chief, a secretary, a radio, and a car, and blah, blah, blah. That's changed. Ontario has less than 50 municipal police services now.
Right.
Because of regional governments and some that went with the OPP contract route. And I think there's still too many. There's still some very small police departments in Ontario. Wonderful people, but it just, it's not an effective and cost-effective model from a variety of perspectives. But it is what it is, and politics weighs so heavily in making decisions mm-hmm. to change it. It may never change.
For sure. You may be interested in this, Chris. Here in Russell, a little village outside of Ottawa, we're the last surviving police village, I believe, in the province of Ontario. Dates back to 1895, I believe. And it was a way of structuring, it wasn't only that the police ran the village, but it was a way to essentially have some kind of structure back then. Chris, a lot of talk lately about the fact that policing is in trouble here in Canada. Some say the system is broken. Again, I refer back to the Freedom Convoy a couple of years ago where, in downtown Ottawa, you had multi-jurisdictional responsibilities. You had the RCMP as the federal. You had Ottawa City Police. You had your former OPP in there as well. As a former commissioner and someone who's obviously spent a long time in policing, how do you react to people who say that policing really needs to be completely overhauled here in this country?
I don't agree. I don't agree with the notion that it's broken. There's pieces of it that really need to be done better. And that's kind of almost like an instance-by-instance, case-by-case thing. Some of the issues around the interoperability of police departments have been mm-hmm. problematic, but it's often a function of local leadership, like a chief that says, I'm not calling the SQ or I'm not calling the OPP. We don't need those idiots.
Right.
Or the odd police leader in any department, including the OPP, that makes decisions based on ego and or poor decisions that ultimately affect quality of policing. And the Ottawa example is really good. And Peter Slowly is a very intelligent man. He was the chief at the time, but he chose to not believe his officers that understood protests in Ottawa and how to deal with them, and chose that, forced them to go a route they really weren't comfortable with. And it ended up being a failure at the front end, and that caused all kinds of problems. So how do you fix that? You can't legislate human minds, egos, and some of those things. But I think that ultimately, some of the inquiries, although I roll my eyes sometimes when I say it.
In fact, you see both. Now,
you just couldn't see it. Trying to air issues to form strategies to do it better next time, whether it be the Bernardo investigation or protests or, a G8, G20, et cetera. That's important that they always, everyone tries to keep what's important, and that's keeping the community safe and preventing victimization. And sometimes that gets lost in the egos and the jurisdictional issues. But will that ever be totally fixed? I doubt it. I just like to see it happen better each time.
Right. Now, one thing you referred to earlier, Chris, was this notion of contract policing. Now, for my listeners, this is an arrangement, and correct me if I'm wrong, whereby municipalities, or as you say, 8 of the 10 provinces, decide to enter into an agreement with the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, which is a federal police force in Canada, dating back to 1873, I believe. And they basically pay for the RCMP to carry out policing duties on their behalf. This has come up a lot lately, and a lot of municipalities are saying, well, maybe we should either create or, in some cases, recreate our own municipal police. I remember when I first moved to Ottawa in the early 80s, Nepean had its own police force. That's been subsumed into Ottawa Police. Most recently, I believe Surrey, BC is one municipality that said, hey, we don't want to, pay for this anymore. We want to recreate the Surrey Police, which of course is, you can't create a police force, on a dime. It's not going to happen over the weekend. Do you think contract policing as an idea has run its course here in Canada?
I think it has in some ways. I think that some smaller municipalities just don't see the cost benefit of having their own police department, their own chief, their own cars, their own stripes, their own radio system. So some of them becoming part of the OPP or becoming part of a regional police service makes all the sense in the world from efficiency and financial perspectives. But some of the big municipalities, when you think about the Lower Mainland in BC, Surrey being one example, they've gotten so big, it almost doesn't fit the RCMP's contract policing model anymore.
Right.
The OPP don't have any huge municipalities like that under contract, nor do the SQ. They're mostly small to mid-sized departments. So the arguments are a little more sound around municipalities going that route. But some of the bigger ones, like the Surrey example, is a really good one. Why can't you have your own police department? Why would you want to contract to the Mounties? Hire your own people and do your own thing.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Like you said, I think when a municipality gets to a certain size, it certainly makes sense to create your own police force. But what about provinces, Chris? Look, Alberta's talked about, I think, creating an Alberta provincial police force. I don't think they've ever had. Does it make sense then that most of the provinces should follow suit?
I really, truly think that the provinces should have a provincial police service. I think the Mounties, in no disrespect to the RCMP or its people, I think they're really, you can't be great at everything. And I think that having provincial police departments, that's their mandate, is to prevent police certain areas and assist municipalities as requested. That's a pretty good model. And to have the RCMP do it and then start borrowing resources from the provinces to deal with national security issues or organized crime investigations, or totally drop the ball on some of those federal things as they have because they don't have enough people to do it all, that's not right. And I think the RCMP, and no disrespect to the current members, but at some point they sold their souls a little bit in terms of, okay, we'll police your province for you and we'll do it for X. And they say, wow, well, that's cheaper and we can do it. But the reality was X was never enough.
Yeah.
And so so you're borrowing from Peter to pay Paul all the time. And I think that's happening with regularity in the RCMP, particularly in the bigger provinces. But we saw it in Nova Scotia. There's been lots of discussion on the East Coast around the notion of going back to provincial police services as well. I think it's a better model. Personally, I'm a little biased, absolutely, but right. I understand it a little better than maybe a Mountie who doesn't understand those benefits because they have never seen the benefits of it.
Well, and of course, I mean, you were responsible as commissioner of the OPP for the province of Ontario. So, yes, you do have an insider's view, and I think that it's an insider's view that should be respected. Another thing that's come up an awful lot lately, Chris, is morale. Now, I've talked ad nauseum about morale within the intelligence services is in the toilet for a whole host of reasons I don't want to get into. But there's been a lot of people that have been worried about morale within police forces. And of course, the most recent, I guess, manifestation of this dates back to, of course, in May of 2020, when George Floyd, who was a Black American, was killed by a police officer who was trying to arrest him. It went badly. Then we had the immediate rise of the Defund the Police movement, people actually calling for the complete dissolution of police forces across the United States, which, of course, is just... That's a pipe dream. That's not going to happen. I know you're no longer commissioner, but obviously you stay in touch with these types of issues. How has this impacted policing in Canada in terms of the public views of policing? And perhaps more importantly, how people that are currently within police forces view their role in society and how they're perceived by the public?
Well, you know what? Morale is something that just is very important to me. I spent half my life trying to keep morale up. And it's a challenge for any leader, but it's such a critical challenge because without strong morale, productivity and professionalism tend to fail. And then you get more criticism and it drags morale down more. But defund the police, some of the George Floyd things. Mind you, George Floyd was a bad man, a criminal that deserved to be arrested, but he didn't deserve to have somebody's knee in his throat for 45 minutes.
Right.
So the conviction there against police officer was well justified in my view. But at the same time, that just caused so many protests, so many problems, and so much anti-police stuff in communities that would never, police officers would never do anything wrong. It really has affected morale. It's affected recruiting. It's affected retention. Even in the days of the, many First Nations protests in Canada, like Caledonia and Idle No More, et cetera, we're to the point where the morale of our people that were responding constantly to those things really deteriorated because they were being criticized by the non-Indigenous people and then fighting with Indigenous people at blockades, et cetera, and the media all over them all the time. It was really tough to stay positive. And so all of this does drag morale down and it has a very detrimental effect on policing as a whole. But if I could say, leadership is key to trying to fix all that too. Having strong leadership to defend, support, keep people accountable, kick them in the rear when they need it, but fight for them and try and keep budgets strong and try and make sure they have enough staff and they're defended publicly is important to try and balance that out. And we don't always see that across the board in this country.
Well, I won't name any names, but certainly in recent years, we've had an appalling lack of leadership in some police forces that have basically kowtowed to the government's line about systemic racism and all this horseshit that seems to be going around these days. Chris,
well, I'm glad to hear you say that because I've got strong feelings about that too. And I don't think it's just racism is systemic. I think it's in bits and pieces and within individuals and certain sections and maybe the odd, you know, detachment, etc. But I don't think racism is interwoven through all of policing, all its policies and procedures. And that's what some would allege, and I don't agree with that.
Well, thank you for saying that. You certainly have my support. And I think this has become gospel, unfortunately, by people who, you know, unlike yourself and myself, you know, even CSIS has been accused of being systemically racist, who haven't spent time, you know, in uniform or in an intelligence function and are commenting on things of which they know nothing. Chris, I spend a lot of my time these days mentoring young Canadians who want to think about a career in intelligence, whether it's with CSC or CSIS or whatever kind of thing. What would be your advice now today to young Canadians who think of law enforcement as a career they want to pursue? They want to help their community. They want to be a part of it, helping to keep Canadians safe. You know, they're being bombarded with these messages about policing is bad. Police men and women are discriminatory. They're systemically racist. If someone were to come to you and say, Mr. Lewis, I'm really quite fascinated with the possibility of putting on a uniform one day and becoming a police officer, what would you tell them?
Well, I would tell them don't believe everything you hear, number one. You normally only hear a lot of outcry from the silent majority or from the vocal majority versus the silent majority that really respects police still. So get to know your own police department all you can. Talk to a recruiter. Find out if there's any programs you can get involved in. Look at options education-wise around police foundations and law and security, some of those other courses that different colleges and universities have. Look at the auxiliary, volunteering and trying to do things to get a better look at policing and have an open mind. You know, everyone says when you ask a young person, why do you want to be a cop? They never say because it's a good job, good career, it looks interesting and fascinating. They say, I want to help people.
Yeah.
Nine times out of 10, that's not really true. But, you know, so be honest with yourself and be honest that you better not be in a situation where you don't like people or you're never going to survive because it's a people business. But the fact that it's an interesting, good career that you can make a difference, you know, and on is all good. Just don't, you know, don't lie to recruiters and try and say, oh, it's all about the fact I want to help people. And they say, when's the last time you volunteered to do anything in the community?
Well, exactly. Join a Salvation Army in that case, right?
Yeah. But really look at doing that sort of stuff to see if you like it. And if you like dealing with people, you're going to be a way better police officer than if you don't. But it is a good career. And the good days still far outnumber the bad for most police officers in this country.
Well, again, I'm so glad you said that, Chris. You know, not surprisingly, you know, you and I go back a ways. I'm a huge supporter of policing. I was actually with the OPP briefly when I retired from CSIS. And as I say to people, you know, for those who are constantly critical of police officers and their function, are you the one that answers the 3 o'clock call in the morning when some guy's beating the shit out of his wife? No, you sit in your bed and you're snoring away while police officers have to deal with very sensitive situations. So, sir, for your service to Ontario and to Canada, thank you very, very much. Thank you for being with me on the podcast today. And thank you for, sharing some really heartfelt and very important messages about what policing is. Again, it's not perfect any more than intelligence is perfect. But as you say, most people put on the uniform every day with one goal and one goal in mind only. That's to help protect people from bad things and do the best job they can. So all the best to you, Chris. And thanks again for joining me on the podcast.
Thanks. And same to you, Phil. It's always a pleasure. And some of these issues we could talk about for 10 podcasts. So don't hesitate to call.
Oh, I will call you back. Don't worry. Even if it is your city still in St. Petersburg, Florida, in the sunshine, I'm sitting here in the goddamn snow. I will call you back.
Thanks very much. Always a pleasure.
That was our conversation with Chris Lewis. Of course, he's a former commissioner of the OPP and is a leadership consultant right now. What are your views on policing in Canada? Is the system working okay? Does it need major overhaul? Love to hear your feedback. You can reach me on email, borealisrisk@gmail.com, or on X at Borealis Saves. You can also find me on LinkedIn and on Facebook. If you like the content, please subscribe, borealisthreatandrisk.com. There's a subscription button there. It's all free of charge, podcasts and blogs. Love to hear what you thought of our conversation and ideas for further podcasts. We'll talk again soon. Until then, take care.